It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Pastor Chiwanda, good afternoon to you. Welcome back and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us, Mfundis.
Good afternoon and thank you for having me.
Thank you very much, Mfundis, for your patience. My goodness, seems as though we've got a lot to do this Friday, but we're able to squeeze some of the stuff in. Thank you very much once again for your patience, Mfundis. Let's begin, Mfundis.
Thank you for Impact Zambia. I listened.
Yes, indeed. I'm glad you were listening, Mfundis. So we promised that you wanted us to talk about Luke chapter 22, verse 36, before we get into Genesis chapter 15. So I want to give you that opportunity, Mfundis. You wanted to explain a few things. Go ahead. This is your chance.
Yeah, I wanted to say that Luke chapter 22 verse 36 is in the context of the communion service, the Lord's Supper.
Okay.
The Lord is at a table with the disciples.
Yeah.
And as he talks to the disciples, he is telling them that he's happy that he's with them and they are with him in his trials, verse 28.
Right.
And then he says the Father has granted that this communion they are taking, they will also eat with him at the table in heaven.
Right.
That's what he's saying in the next verses.
Right.
And then he tells them that they will be judging the 12 tribes while they sit with the Father
on their thrones. Right.
Then he talks to Simon, to say, Simon, the devil wanted to sift you, to destroy you.
But I
have prayed for you. When you are converted, you should also help your friends. Then Peter is saying, no, I will not deny you. I will die, even I will go and I'll die for you. I will be imprisoned for you. I will sacrifice myself for you. And Jesus says, no, you will deny me within the night when before the cock crows three times.
That's right.
So that's when now Jesus begins to talk about what is going to happen. He asks the question. He says, when I sent you on a missionary journey, did you, and I told you not to carry your purse, your bag, your whatever, did you lack anything?
Hmm.
He was saying, no, we lacked nothing. He says, now, do you know what I'm going to tell you now? He said, no. He says, if you have to carry bags, carry them. If you have to carry purses, carry them. And if you don't have a sword, you should sell your clothes and buy a sword.
That's right.
So when he says that, he is still in the context of the Lord's Supper, where he is predicting about his sufferings.
Right.
He says, "You buy the swords because when you went to preach, it was a hospitality scenario. It was a peaceful scenario. But now that I'm going to die, it's now going to be a scenario of violence. I am so peaceful that I did not disturb the society, but they will take me as a thief. They will take me as a robber. They will take me as somebody who has fought with them. So go and get guns, because now the occasion is going to change. You will see blood. You will see blood with that violence." And he's talking about what he is going to experience.
Mm.
He says, and he was numbered with the transgressors in verse 37. So verse 36 is because of his being numbered with the transgressors.
Right.
So swords are going to be used against him. So he's also predicting that since I am going to suffer and die, from now onwards, those who trust in me, those who believe in me, will shed blood because they will suffer and die as well. That's what he's trying to say.
Yeah. So what I offered yesterday, Mfundis, as perhaps as a stepping stone for you to explain further, is that Jesus was not only asking them this for the present. He was commissioning them for the future, how you're going to do things in the future, going on forward. This was to happen post the crucifixion, because the ministry that was to be led by Peter was to happen post the crucifixion, after the ascension. So what I'm trying to establish, Mfundisi, is how do we deny the necessity for weaponry if the Messiah himself decided weaponry is necessary after the crucifixion?
It was not what you are saying. That's where we are differing. Verse 36 does not mandate these people to have swords. It is a metaphoric presentation of the next stage of life, or after the cross and after the cross. Instead of peace, there will be war.
How do we know it's metaphoric, Mfundisi? Because here, we know when he is metaphorical, he would give parables. Here, he's not giving parables. He's giving an injunction, an instruction.
What you must know is that the Bible is not a rule book.
But the instructions are very clear, Mfundisi. It may not be a rule book.
It's not an instruction manual for military activities.
Well, we do find instructions for military activities as well, Mfundisi.
Yeah, but you have to understand the content of the Bible,
right,
from a spiritual perspective.
I appreciate
as
that, Mfundisi.
As I mentioned to you, the context here,
right,
was at the Lord's Supper.
Right, right.
When he's at the Lord's Supper, he cannot mandate people to get swords for killing others.
But he did.
He is saying that the scenario that was there during my ministry over the 3.5 years has been one of peace. But from now on, I am going to be crucified. I'll be numbered with the transgressors. So the scenario is going to be so violent that at this time you can now go and buy the swords.
What is he going to do with the swords?
When he says that, he is trying to say that you will resist swords against me. So when Peter says, but we have two swords here in verse 37, Jesus says, those swords. He says that is enough. That is enough is to say Jesus is not happy with the disciples because they don't understand what he's talking about. When he mentions swords, they don't understand what he means. They think he means real swords. So there are two swords here. He says, that's enough to say he's not happy with their response.
Well, he didn't say that, Mfundisi. He didn't say he's not happy with it. He said it's enough. He didn't say that's wrong. You're not supposed to have them.
I am the one who is telling you that he was not happy with their response. He was feeling that they did not understand him.
How do you know that, Mfundisi? How do you know he was not happy?
As we are discussing now, there are many who don't understand Luke 22, verse 36. They think Luke 22, verse 36 arms them to go and retaliate and fight.
I hear you. So what I'm asking now is, how do you know that he was unhappy? If the Bible doesn't say he was unhappy, how do you know that he was unhappy with them saying here are two swords in verse 38?
I like your question. You know, when you are reading the Bible, you should be in a place to read more than what the letters are saying.
Okay.
You should be able to read more than what the letters are saying. Because if you just read the letters, what they have said, like in verse 36, go and buy swords.
Right.
If you just go like that, then you are going to buy a sword, definitely.
Yes. Okay. All right. Let's go to Genesis and Mfundisi. Let's not. You've made the point. I want us to go to Genesis chapter 15. Is that okay, Mfundisi?
Fine, let's go to Genesis 15 now.
All right.
We have talked about 36.
Yeah.
36.
Yeah. So it reads, and I'm reading from the NIV again. I'm reading Genesis chapter 15 from verse 1 in the NIV. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. These are the words of God. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the heavens and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I shall gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and ill-treated 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking brazier with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kedmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Riphites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. And the Lord bless the reading of his word now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. You can point out what we need to learn from this, Mfundis.
Yes, I have a number of points. Number one, when you are at peace with God, you have nothing to fear. Because God is your shield and he is your great reward.
Right.
With God, we lack nothing. With God, we fear nothing. God is our security. Number two, when Abraham complains that he doesn't have a child, he is childless, God declared himself to be God of impossibilities. Who can be trusted? He says, I will give you a child. You will have a biological son. This means that God is declaring himself to be the God of impossibilities, the God who can create something out of nothing. And he says, out of you, who you think you shall never have a child, a biological child, because your wife is barren from long time and you are getting old, that biological process can be defied because I am the great God who creates out of nothing. All existence of human beings is by me. So God is a God of impossibility. We can trust him. Then I am noting that to say that Abraham will have children means that he will have spiritual children, children of faith, children of faith. So it's also important that we understand that the faith that Abraham believed, trusted in God, that he will have children like stars in heaven, innumerable as stars, God reckoned it as righteousness. He credited it to Abraham as righteousness. Right. Is what we call righteousness by faith.
Yeah.
Or salvation by grace. So we must have that kind of faith where we believe that our sins are forgiven and we are righteous because God is righteous. And so I am also seeing that God is predicting the future of Abraham, especially the future of his dependents, that they will go to a different land and be enslaved for 400 years, but he will bring them back to this land. And then God keeps his promises. He's very faithful. He says, even as I tell you, if you say you don't believe, if you say you want a sign that you are on this land,
right?
He took him into a vision and into a section, another section of the vision, because this was a vision of the whole Genesis 15 was a vision. And so he took him into sections of the vision, which he predicted that that land was going to be. So God keeps his promises. He's very faithful. He's very faithful.
Right, right. Okay.
I'm also noting that you can be with God from any age until you die.
Right.
You can be with God. You can walk with God from any age, from childhood, from youth, from your young adulthood. You can walk with God from that point up to the end of your life.
Right.
And I'm also sensing that in Genesis 15, verse 15, when God says, "You will return to your fathers in good age and be buried at a good age." I am sensing that the condition of the dead at when we die is that we don't return to God. We return to our parents. We return to our when we die, we don't go to heaven to be with God. When we die, we go to our parents, to be with our parents in the graves as dust. That's what I have learned from chapter 15.
Yo. We have so much to cover. Let's see if we're going to try and go through what you have touched on. Yo. Okay, so let's talk about first this dream. I'm wondering, Funis, and I'm sure you can understand my timidity. We've been discussing this question I'm going to ask you now throughout the other other chapters, but now it's still emphasized on this chapter as well. This idea that the inhabitants of the land are now going to be dispossessed of their land. God is emphasizing this. Just clarify it a bit more, Mfundisi, because as you know, as Africans, we have suffered under the issue of people who believe the land now belongs to theirs and God, their God, has given them the right to this land. Just clarify it a bit more. What is this about God taking land that belongs to others? He has given this land to the Jebusites. He has given the land to the Girgashites, the Amorites, and now He's taking that land away. Yes, I mean we have experienced this in Mfundisi, and so it touches very close to us as Africans. Just clarify it a bit, Mfundisi.
This is very interesting. Actually, what we should understand here is that all the nations on the planet belong to God. All the nations belong to God, and wherever the nations are, those places where they are situated geographically are also God's places. Now, what is happening in chapter 15 is that if you get to verse number 16. Are you there?
I'm here, Mfundisi. Would you like me to read it? 16.
Verse number 16.
All right.
Then in the fourth generation, they will return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete.
Right.
You get that point?
Yes.
What God is saying is that, Abraham, I'm talking to you now before you have any biological child.
Right.
But when you have a biological child, I will multiply them. And when I've multiplied them, they will go and be slaves in a certain land.
Mm.
And they will come out to the same place where you are. But the people who are here must first sin up to the brim of their sinning.
Yeah, but
they have become more wicked,
right.
That's when I will bring Israel now here.
Punish. That's my problem for this.
Punish these people and remove them from this land, destroy them actually, so that your children can inhabit this land. That's what he is saying there.
So there's 10 tribes there, Mfundis. 10
yes.
tribes that live in the land, and Abraham claims he had a vision to take the land that belongs to 10 tribes because of the sin of just one tribe.
He was going to destroy them, actually.
He was going, because of the sin of one tribe, Mfundis, only the Amorites. But the rest of the nine are not sinful, just the Amorites.
The Amorites and all the people around them were of the same moral caliber. They were wicked.
But God only mentions the Amorites there, Mfundis.
Yes, of course. He only mentions the Amorites. Probably they were the most predominant at that point. But what you should know is that God has decided that Abraham's children are going to possess that land. And that's a decision from heaven.
Yeah, I understand that, Mfundis. So should we also take it that what Israel is doing to Gaza there is pursuant to this? Because we see what's happening in Israel and Gaza.
That's another issue. The Gaza and Israel war issue, it's a different issue.
It's the same territory, Mfundis.
It's the same territory, but it's not related to this.
They claim that's their land. Benjamin Netanyahu said, remember what God did to Amalek. So according to Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel
I want to tell you something. There is a problem. The problem is that modern Israel is not biblical Israel.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Mfundis. Absolutely.
It's Western Israel.
That's right.
So, because it's Western Israel, modern Israel has the culture of the West.
Okay.
And because Israel has the culture of the West, it goes contrary to the culture of the land in which it went in 1948.
The land of God.
The land, I don't want to mention it as the land of God now. It's no longer the land of God.
Oh,
no longer.
I like this.
No longer. That land is no longer the land of God. Okay. No longer.
Yeah.
No longer.
And what about the people of Buddhists?
It stopped being the land of God.
Yeah.
At the cross.
Oh. Yeah.
At the cross. That's when it stopped being the land of God.
What about the people? Are those not the descendants of Abraham, Buddhists?
The Christianity that we have now is Western Christianity. And I told you that modern Israel is Western
absolutely
Israel, not Abrahamic Israel.
Right.
No, but Western Israel.
Talk to me about those Israelites or the Israelis that are in Israel. Are they not the descendants of Abraham?
They are physically.
So did not God promise physical. That to the physical the seed of Abraham through Isaac?
The seed of Abraham through Isaac is Jesus. And in my sermon tomorrow is John 8 verse 56. Jesus says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day.
Yeah.
And he saw it and was glad.
I am Fundis, but remember we're doing chapter 15 today, and
yes, I'm now telling you that
chapter 15 talks about Jesus. The land being given to those that left Egypt, who were enslaved in Egypt, and Jesus was not enslaved in Egypt.
He gave them the land. They stayed in the land until Jesus came.
So my question now is,
after Jesus came and died on the cross, Jesus predicted that by AD 90 the Jews would be scattered. And Jerusalem would be destroyed.
Right.
And actually, those Jews said to Pilate,
yeah,
let his blood be on us on our children.
Yeah.
When they rejected Jesus, they said, let his blood be on us and on our children.
Yeah.
So that's what is playing out now. Because they incurred the curse on themselves.
Yeah.
And they have maintained the rejection of Jesus, because the Israel you are talking about is saying that there is no Jesus.
Right.
There is no Savior.
Right.
Yeah, he's saying that Jesus, the Messiah, has not yet come.
Yes.
That's the Israel, the Israel we are talking about, which is fighting with the Hamas.
Yes.
It's not the Israel of Abraham.
And so why are we still seeing people of Gaza suffering for a land that no longer belongs to those people who are claiming it, Mfundisi? Because they are claiming it according to the Bible promise.
That one is a political and a geopolitical issue.
Right.
It's not a Bible issue.
So why is God not intervening there, Mfundisi? If we're following the history as you're articulating
God
it.
God told you and me that in the last days, just before Jesus comes,
right,
there will be wars and violence.
And rumors of wars, yeah.
And rumors of wars. So that must happen.
Where?
That must happen.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Actually, God foretold through Daniel that desolation and violence shall continue until Jesus comes.
Yeah.
Until Jesus comes.
All right.
So you will find that as we talk between you and me,
yes,
the nations around are angry. All nations are angry, and they look to be angry with Israel, angry with Gaza, whatsoever. But the last anger of the nations will be against Jesus, because Jesus is going to display himself also.
All right. Mfundisi, let's leave it right there. Our time is up. Thank you very much once again for your time and your insights. They are always valuable to us. Quite frankly, there's no measure with which we could say we can quantify how you have impacted us, Mfundisi, on this show. Thank you very much. We will invite you again. Perhaps we'll do another 2 hour in the afternoon on the Sabbath, and we can talk about more of these issues, Mfundisi. Thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you.
Oh my goodness, this pastor. I tell you, this is the kind of pastor you want to sit down with the whole day, just listen to him and learn from him. And well, we don't have the whole day. 18 minutes now, just before 3, you're listening to Adventist World Radio.
It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.